I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The morning stream just keeps on keeping on every day, but it can't actually do that without the help from our listeners. Good thing there's a patreon.com/TMS for people like Quakeholio, James Garcia, and Charles. Be like them. Coming up on TMS, I prefer Steely Dan's brother, Aluminimi Jim.
Wrapped in Mylar.
The Somonex Halftime Show.
Tramp stamp in perpetuity.
Does my chewing gum lose its flavor on the burlap overnight?
Kim's tattoo starts with onions.
You'll get no Adele, no Lionel Richie, and no Lieutenant Yar!
Starter farter.
Dutch shake and bake.
How do you like them maggots?
Bougie Bowie.
Molly Crew featuring Weezer.
A hell of a lot of hellos.
You don't need rice! With Tom.
Yeast-free recommendals with Nicole and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Every boy wants a Remco toy, and so do girls.
Mr. Kelly's Car Wash, that's the one for me!
When did you grow that mustache?
The Morning Stream. He's taking a dump in a can.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It is February 21st, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbotai.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, hello. It's me. Hey, everybody.
I was wondering if you were going, are you doing Adele? Are you doing, it was almost Todd Rundgren, yep. But it wasn't.
Nope. A little bit of Lionel Richie, maybe.
A little Lionel Richie in there, too.
Yeah. Little Adele. All of them have good hellos. So,
yeah.
Why not go down either
hello
any of
there.
Those paths? Hello there. I have that somewhere.
I know. I like playing it.
Let's see if I have it. It's fun to play.
Take bets on how many he plays before he
hello
finds
China.
That's not it. That's hello China. All right, so that's one. If you bet one, you win. If you bet two, let's see. Where is it? I know I have this. Shit. Oh, there it is. No.
Wait. Hello there.
No, that's not it.
It's two.
Okay.
Hello up there. Wow, look.
No.
Three.
No.
Hello there.
No.
Four.
Hello there.
There we go.
Oh, four. Dang it. I had five.
Oh, shoot.
Had four. Nobody had four. Dang it.
That's all right. The house always
wins.
A
lot of sevens. A lot of sevens.
House always wins, Brian. That's just the rule. Anyway, hey, everybody. We're here. It's Wednesday. We got stuff to do. We're glad you're all here, and we're going to get straight to some things. We got a phone call from Amy I thought we'd start with today. And,
cool.
You know, she's very active in our community. She's always got something to say. And she has a whole thing about that gum tree, you know? The whole put your gum on the tree deal.
The gum tree at the log flume ride at the local amusement park.
Yep. And she adds this to the story.
Hey, Scott and Brian, this is Amy. And you guys were just talking about the gum tree. And Brian was specifically talking about one that was at an amusement park. And yes, I concur. We had those in Six Flags over Georgia. But our gum trees, they would actually put like a sheet of burlap around the tree so you could stick your gum to the burlap and not harm the tree.
Oh.
So.
See, it's good.
A while all amusement parks will do this and save their trees from, I don't know, whatever the gum does to them. But anyway, just thought I'd share.
But why doesn't the Mylar hurt the tree?
The burlap?
Not Mylar. Why am I saying Mylar? The burlap. I guess it's porous, right? You can get air through
porous,
there.
It's porous, but the tree doesn't need air on its trunk. It gets what it needs from its leaves.
That's true. So you can't kill, if I wrap a tree with something, you can't kill the tree
way. I mean, you've seen people who put metal, like aluminum or tin or something, like metal around the tree itself to keep squirrels from being able to climb it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Down to, sometimes lower, but
As long as you don't, as long as you do something to the roots or the leaves, you're fine.
Okay. Well, there you go then. Mylar. No. What'd she say?
Burlap.
Why do I keep saying mylar? Why?
Because you really want that. You want some acid-free mylar. You want to protect that tree so you can sell it on Tree Trader.
TreeTrader.com.
It's worth a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah, the hot new site, Tree Trader.
Hot new site, Tree Trader.
So hold on a second. Mylar. Mylar's like that. It's like
plastic.
It's like a plastic and shiny kind of.
Like comic book bags are mylar.
Those are mylar?
Some of them are, yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know what I'm thinking of. Something in my head, it's metallic, but I don't know why I think that. It's just me, my brain.
You can do food storage. You can do,
Yeah, I got a little, okay.
Computer components are good in Mylar.
There is a kind I'm thinking of then that's like a, almost looks like a metal wrap.
The metallic ones, they use those for like when you get computer components like chips and things like that.
Those are my anti-static mylar bags, right? Okay. And I still want mylar now, it turns out. I want that around my tree. That's what I want. Anyway, we also got a guy calling in about
sleeves.
Yeah. There you go, sleeves. We got a guy calling about the buoy thing. I know this has been going on for months, but I just thought this was an interesting take, so here's 10 seconds.
Hi, this is for TMS. My last name is Boje, spelled B-O-J-E. In German, it actually means water buoy. Just thought you guys would find that interesting. Thanks a lot. Bye.
All right, so Boje is German for Boje. Water buoy.
Yeah. Water buoy.
I'm going to call that from now on. I see a buoy, I'm calling it a Boje.
I'm going to call it bougie. Watch out. That thing in the water that you're going to hit with your boat, it's a little bougie.
It's a little bougie. Yeah.
A little bougie.
Bourgeoisie.
Yeah, a little basic.
I like
Don't
that.
Don't hit that basic.
Then we got a question about who we think should do the Super Bowl next. And I actually had a thought about this, but we'll talk about that in a second. So
sure.
This person who did not leave a name texted the following. Hey, guys, question for the Morning Stream team. Who do you think has the chops to put on a good halftime show for the Super Bowl next year? Has to be somebody/team who can appeal to multiple generations and have a deep and recognizable song catalog. I'm thinking White Stripes, get Meg back, or maybe a Beck/Cake combo, a 2010s combo with Dua, Ariana, and Kesha, or Kadalerha, as we prefer to call her here, could be pretty cool too. Well, Dua Lipa's a little more like 2020s.
Yeah.
Teens
late,
and
late 2010s.
Yeah, I think 2018.
That's what she really levitated was in the 2020s, though.
2018 was like her first album or something, so she's a little later in the group. But anyway, I mean, I think all of those things are true. I don't know if Beck and Cake would be a draw.
Oh, it'd be a draw for me.
It'd be a draw for me. Don't get me wrong. I'd love it. But you want that multi-generational thing?
Yeah. I think Post Malone, now that we've seen him do a song beforehand, I think a whole Post Malone halftime show would be fantastic.
Yeah, I'd go for that.
A No Doubt, and you could do a No Doubt combo. Who'd you combine? Like do No Doubt, Blink.
You want to stay ska, or do you want to go like...
You go ska and ska punk, right?
Okay,
That'd
be great.
Yeah.
That's a thing people are into. And right now, all of those three bands, maybe not hers, or maybe not Gwen Stefani, but the other two have new albums.
She's doing the whole The Voice stuff, so she's still in public eye.
Yeah, so maybe they'd be perfect. That's a good call. I like that.
Yeah.
But here is my thought.
Yeah, what's your thought?
Next Super Bowl Sunday, which is a whole year from now.
It is, yeah.
Because halftime shows kind of suck, we should do a live stream during the halftime show.
Oh, you and I should?
Yeah. And make up our own, you know, whatever it is. Whatever we want to do for that. How long is the halftime show? It's like 15 minutes or something.
Yeah, yeah. We could totally do that.
Like
We'd have it on. We'd be live casting it, basically talking over it, but we'd be watching it.
Yeah, either that or we do our own thing where we make shit up. I don't know. Whatever. Like, you know, they have the puppy bowl and the I don't know what the SpongeBob thing cover did they have their own version of the halftime break? I don't know.
They must have, right?
Yeah. I would think so.
Did you see any of the video from Dora the Explorer, like explaining football?
Oh yeah, I saw a little bit of that. That's pretty great. Yeah, that was great.
He's known as that's a holding call. Let's all shout, holder, no holding.
It was pretty great.
That was great. Yeah.
It was a good year for 90s cartoons, I noticed.
It was. Yes, it totally was.
Yeah, both that and that commercial with Patrick Stewart and stuff. And
yeah,
football-shaped head kid, whatever his name is. I can't think of his name. Anyway, that stuff was great. Anyway, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what we do next year.
I like this. I like this idea a lot.
I would like...
We've got a whole year to forget that we ever said this, by the way.
Yeah. We'll be fine. I would like somebody like... I don't know. I'd go for like Metallica out there. Let's get some metal out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, we haven't... that'd be good. And some, you know, some metal that is widely appreciated by an audience, as opposed to like Megadeth or Anthrax or something. But could you do a mix of like Metallica and then some like more pop metal like Def Leppard and
I think you could. You could do like here's that era.
Monsters of Rock, basically Monsters of Rock halftime show.
Yeah. It's the biggest problem with most of those bands is they are aging very quickly. Like,
yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you get Axl Rose on there. It was Motley Crue. Vince Neil.
Yeah. I heard him breathing more than I heard him singing.
That's right. Was I watching Poison or Weezer? Because it certainly sounded like I was watching a Weezer on stage.
Yeah, he was wheezing for sure. Pull his sweater and he'll unravel.
Speaking of which, though, again, Weezer, nice deep catalog, big audience, you know, wide audience that likes the music of Weezer.
Yeah, I would do. Weezer's be a great idea. Bring out the Jackass guys to do stupid shit while they play.
Perfect.
Because they got that song they did with them. I loved that song. It was for, what was it, for the 3D movie or 3? Anyway, you know what? That's where what we need. I think that's what we're coming to here is the 90s need some love. Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get it done.
Sure.
Although I guess Usher is kind of 90s, right? Late 90s? I don't know.
Yeah. Usher is. And you know, a lot of the rap, the hip-hop superstars that they had a couple years ago were 90s as well.
Oh, right. Yeah, the Dr. Dre thing. That was I really like that.
So maybe we need to go further back. We need 80s. So let's get we got Cheap Trick. Everybody's still alive in Cheap Trick, I think, right?
Yeah.
Benny Carlos. Yeah, Benny Carlos still with us.
Yeah. Why not?
Rick Nielsen.
Mm-hmm. How's Steely Dan doing? Can we get Steely Dan out of the grave, or are they all dead?
Half in the bag, unfortunately. You get Donald Fagen, but no Walter Becker.
Oh, that sucks.
But you know, Donald Fagen, the voice of Steely Dan. But I think that's, and now it's our Somonix halftime show, starring Steely Dan.
Ricky, don't leave your number. Everybody's fall asleep.
That's great. Speaking of that, this is the reason I brought Steely Dan up. We were playing Helldivers 2 yesterday with John and Bo, and the game is awesome. But there was a guy on our team, a rando named SD, and we just called him Steely Dan.
Just called him Steely Dan. Yep. I love it.
Yeah, we're like, oh, Steely Dan got killed again. Can somebody bring him back up? Oh, sorry, Steely Dan. It was great. Had a blast doing that. All right.
Did he do it again? Oh,
he died again. Oh, he died a lot.
Well, I'm saying do it again because that was a Steely
Dan. Oh, that's a Steely Dan song. Oh, yeah. It's because you're a music guy and I don't know shit.
Do it again. That's the reference there. Four people in the audience got that. And they're all over 80.
Yeah. Wow. They're all on pills that we don't know the names of. I actually really like
end with Enix.
I do like them sometimes. I can, like today, I might listen to some Steely Dan.
I joke around, but Steely Dan and Tina hates Steely Dan, and I'd put Steely Dan in one of my probably my top 20 favorite groups.
Really?
Why she hate it? Maybe even top 15.
Why does she hate it so bad?
She She says she's not a fan of yacht rock. Mm. She says, I don't like yacht rock. And then Toto comes on. Do, do, do. Gonna take a lot to get me away from you. I was like, oh, I like this song. And you're a rich girl, but you got, oh, I like that song too. And then, like, you know, it's basically like the kid who says, I hate this food. And they start eating. It's like, oh, yeah, I actually kind of really like this.
Yeah. But, she probably likes Steely Dan's in a secret way. Just won't, doesn't want to tell you.
I don't think so. Mm. I don't think so.
That's great though.
J Funktastic doesn't like Steely Dan either.
I will admit it's divisive. Yeah, and it's got to be a certain, I can't do it just anytime. I have to be in the right mood for that. Yeah,
and you know, their lyrics, they can be a little, I mean, that, you know, it's kind of the whole Randy Newman short people. Randy Newman likes short people.
Of course,
but it's
does.
A character, right? It's like, you know, you write these songs from a character point of view. Eminem didn't really, you know, put his wife in a trunk and drive into the water or anything like that.
Right.
So, you know, some of their lyrics of characters like Cousin Dupree, little misogynistic, but it's a character. Yeah, Hey 19, little cringy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of like this guy. He's not that cringy. He's all right. Right. It's Brian Dunaway. Hi, Brian Dunaway. How are you? Hi, Wednesday.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
I'm going to call you Wednesday. Hello. Wednesday Dunaway.
He's Mundaway and Wendaway.
Wendiggy. Oh, my gosh. I haven't heard that in a while. It's good to have you here, dude. I hope you're well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Are you... that was unconvincing, but I still think you're probably doing
yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Still
good.
Just remember that you're doing okay. Good. I'm glad you're
That's right.
Yeah, I'm glad you're all right. We're going to add a caller to this, and it looks like That's number right. three this week is somebody named Hellbot.
Ooh. Hellbot. Yeah. Is it Hellbot?
Hellbot.
Is it Hellbot or Hellbot?
That's my favorite person to play against in Unreal Tournament is Hellbot.
Hellbot. Oh, Hellbot. He's the best. He's the best. Let's see if this is truly him. Hi, is this Hellbot? Hello, Hellbot. Speaking to Hellbot. Is Hellbot home?
Hellbot.
Hello.
Oh, hi. Oh, there's Hellbot.
There's the Hellbot.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot how to push to talk.
Oh, it's all right. So you are Hellbot, not Hellbit, right?
Yeah. You know, Discord's weird. That's an old WoW name.
Oh.
You have different names for every different server. I'm TYVM. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We've seen you in there. That's awesome.
As in, thank you very much.
Yeah, we know what that's about.
As in, thank you very much. Scott never remembers that and always tries to fumble and pronounce it. So it's awesome.
That's right.
Oh, congratulations of TMVY. You got our show title. Yeah. TVY.
Yeah, I always try to pronounce it and it's never right.
Tivum.
Well, anyway, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad that we get a chance to try to win you some prizes. Hey, but why don't you explain how this works and what's on the line today?
Well, okay, because you asked so nicely. It's time to play the Tadpooley Feud. I've surveyed the Tadpool on some nerdy topics, and Scott and Brian are going to have to predict the answers that they gave us. It's Scott and Brian's job to see how many of those answers they can guess. Your job is more important than ever, because you're going to be working with either Scott or Brian. If your team wins, you get a prize package that includes the gunk. And the Pale Beyond on Steam.
That, you know what? The gunk is awesome. Cool. That's a rad game. Yeah, it's made by those people that make the robot dig, SteamWorld Dig 1 and 2.
Those games.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's their first like 3D game, and I thought it was wonderful. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Well, those could be yours. Hey, what can we call you? What's a real first name of yours? Pick any of your real first names.
Any of my real first names. Let's call it Jacob.
Jacob.
All right. We'll call you Jacob. All right. Jacob, Scott, Brian, let's give you your topic. See you both logged in. Good. All right. We asked 455. Oh, let's put your hands on your buzzards.
Good.
Almost went right past that. We asked 455 tadpoolers to tell us their answer to this. What is the best handheld... Oh!
Game Boy Advance.
All right, show me Game Boy Advance.
Yeah,
the best handheld containing the words Game Boy. No, Scott got it. And I'll repeat the whole question because there are three answers that will be at number four, Game Boy Advance. What is the best handheld gaming device of all time? And I will let you know that I did break things, you know, kept things broken apart. Game Boy Advance does include Game Boy Advance SP, so don't, you
okay,
know, don't
good.
Throw SP.
Because the SP well. Is the ultimate all-time best, and
it is.
I'm glad
right,
you
right, right, right,
right. Yeah.
And, all right. And those two are left together. All right, three answers will beat Game Boy Advance. Brian, what's your guess?
I'm going with the PlayStation Portable, PSP.
Oh, the PSP. Show me PSP.
Oh, way down there.
Kevin, not better. So Scott gets control of the board. He also gets Jacob as a teammate.
Get control of Jacob.
Jacob,
how are you feeling about your handhelds? What do you got there?
I mean, just the classic Game Boy's got to be number one.
It's absolutely on the list, if not number one. So I agree. Let's do the GB, the original GB. All right.
Show me that monochrome master of Tetris, the Game Boy.
Number two. Well, I'm going to guess the Nintendo DS is on here, so let's get the DS out. Let's do that.
Show me Nintendo dual screen.
Yeah.
Square
jobber.
You know, I never really thought about what the DS stood for until Ibbot said dual screen. I never really thought about it. It makes sense. Yeah.
Now, we got a problem I just realized. You mentioned earlier that you lumped some stuff together, like Game Boy Advance would include the SP.
That's the only one where it's like a lot of people put Game Boy Advance / Advance SP, so I lumped all those together. That's the only one where you'll see that.
Okay, so Game Boy, because Game Boy had a ton of variations.
So not DSi then, but that would be something separate as well.
Oh, right.
DSi was lumped into DS. Actually, nobody said DSi. Although that's a really good point. Having internet connectivity really made the DS a lot better.
Yeah, I had that one.
Really made those games of Advance Wars so much more fun.
Yeah, even though I downloaded them and then never got to play them later when they stopped supporting the store, those bastards. All right, let's see.
Bastards.
What do we like, Jacob? Game Boy Color is a huge deal for me. I love that one, but I don't. And that's why I asked Brian the question. It sounds like that might be on the possibilities list, but what do you think?
Yeah, I would separate out Game Boy and Game Boy Color in the list.
Okay.
Forgive me, but was this Nintendo titles only or all handheld?
No, any and all handheld
gaming devices of all time.
I mean, the Steam Deck's got to be on there late.
Yeah, I spent 2 hours on that thing last night. Of course it should be. Let's put it on there.
All right. Show me Steam Deck. Yeah. Number three.
Look at that.
Yes. Yeah. Look at it. Look at it.
Gaze upon it.
Felt a strike, but I was wrong.
Yeah, you suck. That's what that is.
So let's find out how much influence Scott Johnson and Brian Dunaway have from their Play Retro show. And can we see if that RG35XX?
Ooh, that's a good one. I love that thing.
Yeah, I do too.
The Ambernic.
Big fan. Let's do it. Let's try it.
Show me the Ambernic. Very high on the list, though. Number 13 was the Ambernic RG35XX.
I think that
puts some influence on the community.
I bought one because I bought the little transparent purple one.
That's right. Yeah. Like and subscribe, everybody. We are influencers now. Well done.
That's right.
Well, Dunaway, it's in your
car. All right, Dunaway, you've got control. You've got controller.
All right. Let's go for one of the longest running, highest selling. How about the Switch?
Show me the Nintendo Switch.
Number one.
There it is.
By the way, played a lot of Bal Toro or whatever it's called. Balatro. Balatro.
Yeah, yeah.
Played a lot of that yesterday. I will tell you, on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
They need to come out with a 2.0 of that game that increases the effing size of the text. It is like their typical text size is 3x2 pixel letters, and it's like I'm picking up my readers, my old man readers, trying to read this thing.
It's very, very tight on the tooltips, especially for what a card does or changes jokers.
But it's a great game.
The game is amazing. That's what I was playing last night on my Steam Deck. It's so good.
It is so good. Yep.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, Dunaway, you keep going, I guess, Mr. Switchhead.
Yeah.
Come on. All right. Then I'm going to go with the Game Boy Color.
Steel. Brian Dunaway with the steel. Yeah. Show me Game Boy Color.
Oh. Yeah, Yes, good Brian points, and Brian moves to the front.
Yeah. Number 8 on the list. So right now, score is 16 to 15. Brian Dunaway leading.
I would call that a headshot.
Three
headshots.
Three answers still on the board. Plenty of points. Number 5, number 9, and number 10 have not been exposed.
Multi-kill.
Ooh, exposed. Oh, nice. Yeah. I am going to go.
Holy
I'm going to go
shit.
With.
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm going to go with the device that I'm currently working on, trying to get working. I'm doing a recap kit on it. It's a real battery sucker. I'm going to go with the Sega Game Gear. Give the Sega a little love here.
Yeah.
Come on.
Sega. Give it some love and about 15 batteries, okay?
Yeah.
So true. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Show me the Sega Game Gear.
Oh, you son of a bum.
Also really high on the list. Number 11, like just outside the top 10, man. Was the Sega Game Gear.
All right. Yep. This tells me that the 3DS is probably on here.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Let's go.
That was
3DS.
My next suggestion.
I didn't think of that. That's really good. Cool. Smart.
All right.
Smart.
Show me the Nintendo 3DS.
Nice.
Number 9. Back
did you lump in the 2DS with that? Can you tell us that, or is that a secret?
Nobody said the 2DS, so I didn't have to.
Oh. Wow. Okay.
I like the 2DS.
Sure. Nobody likes it better than. Nobody says it's the best handheld gaming device of all time.
That's true. Why would they?
I disagree. The 2DS XL, the new version, is hot. It's fire.
It's hot. But would you call it the greatest handheld gaming device of all time?
Just as much as I would call the Game Boy the greatest handheld device.
You would put it in. You put it in the top 10, is what you're saying.
Game Boy is not the best original. It is the original and highly influential.
Yeah, of course.
The best.
I would agree. Yeah. Like you're asking me to pick up any one of these that are on the board here and play with it. Game Boy would be probably, of the ones we've exposed, the last one I would
get. Yeah, I would do it. I would only get it because I want to collect it and that's it. I don't want to play it.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. How we feel about, I mean, the Vita might be on here.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation Vita. I like the Vita.
Yeah, that's probably better than what my next guess is.
Let's do Vita. We'll try Vita.
Oh, did someone say PlayStation Vita?
Oh, do you have
give
your Vita?
Give us the Vita.
Nice.
Oh, nice Vita.
Yeah, nice Vita you got there, man.
Thank you. I'm proud of my Vita. Yeah. Show me.
I'd like to show everybody my Vita.
Show me the PS Vita.
Come on!
Yeah, even though I have one, number 14 on the list. It's popular, but not.
I loved my Vita.
Yeah,
I loved it. They didn't support it very well, but I loved it.
My 3DS right here, the 3DS XL. Yeah,
nice. The XL was awesome. I have that same red one.
Yeah,
exact same one.
Yeah, I mean it's a sweet, sweet color.
Yeah, that Mario color, you know.
That's right.
Exactly. All right, Dunaway, you got two holes to fill, buddy.
Hello. Well, what I'm really confused about is, number 10 missing is no big surprise. There's probably tons and tons of obscure shit we're not thinking of. But number 5, I'm
number 5. I know. Exactly,
I'm kind of confused at what's left out of this list. Yeah. That would be. All right. Then I'm going to just have to say people have weird love for it. I don't know why. I've never owned one, but people love that Atari Lynx.
I don't know why. I don't either. That, you know what? That screen was like postage stamp size. It was horrible.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. But I kind of liked it. I liked mine. It was all right.
I'm going to. Yeah. Let's go with the Atari.
Okay. Lynx. All right. Show me the Lynx.
Roar.
Number 18 on the list. It actually did get some love, but it's tied for 18th with every other thing that just got one vote. So
interesting.
Starting to think there might be something on here where it's very tadpooly, ha ha, tongue in cheek.
Yes. And by a lot of people, like fifth place, a lot of people, like more than 30.
Yeah.
I have a couple of real dumb ideas. So one, I had the biggest battery sucker of all when I was a kid. It was the TurboGrafx 16.
Oh yeah, the TurboGrafx handheld. Yes. Yeah, dude.
8,000 double A's. My dad hated it.
Yeah, that thing sucked, and I don't think it had a good way to plug it in easily. You had to.
It was horrendous.
Yeah, it was bad.
And top heavy.
What was your other one?
Those old Tiger games, the like one-off.
Oh, that's a good answer.
Like, that be on like
like a whole bunch of Tiger games are lumped together.
They're handhelds. That or the Nintendo Watch and what were they called?
Oh, the Game and Watch. Game and Watch. Why am I telling you? Shut up.
Yeah. I'm wondering which would be a bigger one.
Let's do the Game and Watch, I think.
Probably, right? Shit. You know what? Let's do Game and Watch.
Sure.
I think people are very fond of those. I hated them, but I think people have love for that.
Yeah, that's like, you know, kind of on the same line as Game Boy, right? Like, oh yeah, it's influential. Like it was a thing we had, but
yeah. There are kids like 10 years younger than us, and I would say, and they were like loving that. I'd go, we had ColecoVision football. We know what little blinking lights do.
Exactly.
This isn't a big deal, but anyway, let's do it.
All right. Show me Game & Watch.
Interesting.
Brian with a last chance to steal. By the way, Game & Watch was number 15. So it did get some love, not any love that mattered, unfortunately.
No.
If I hit number 10, and then don't get the last one, you get game.
Steal, you pull, that's right, you pull the, you pull, what is it, the gunk and the Pale Beyond right out of Jacob's hands.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what happens, Jacob, here. Let's see. I have, it's got to be one we're not thinking of. But the only thing I can think of is the one I keep in my bag is the one I played a lot on the school bus, which was it was Mattel, right? Mattel made the football. We made the basketball one and the football one.
Well, that was a Coleco thing, right? Or maybe
was that Coleco?
I don't remember.
Think the Coleco made one too, but I thought that was Mattel that made that one.
You might be right. The green football one was ubiquitous. Everybody I knew had that thing. Yeah, I loved it, but it's old, man. Like
pretty old.
It's very old. So I don't know how many of the kids in our chat are going to have any. Well, I don't want to help you. You do what you do.
Me and Scott are so helpful that we realize we're playing a game. Oh, screw you.
I'm not. Retract that from the record. I don't want you to be influenced.
Right. Yep. How about the Nokia N-Gage. No, I'm going to go with...
what was it? Side talking.
Side talking.
Yeah.
It looked like a taco. It was stupid.
Oh, Jesus. I don't know, man. The ROG Ally. I'm going with the ROG Ally. That's my final answer.
The ROG Ally.
Rachel, the ROG Ally. Let's
show me the ROG Ally. It's a way to fall on your sword. Nicely done. Yeah,
Can I guess one more? Just guess.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
The only thing I can think of is that we did not talk about the this is the trolley answer, I think. But the Nomad, the Sega Nomad.
Oh, yeah, the Sega. No, so they didn't put the Game Gear on there, but they went all in on the Nomad.
The Nomad was number 17 on the list, surprisingly.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
That's why I didn't say the Nomad.
I'm completely lost on these two. There's no way.
I would bet.
A ton of people in chat are saying iPhone, and obviously.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, like the first, like the iPod.
I would guess that it's something you've played a game on in the last two or three days, if not the last 24 hours.
Probably the most profit-making handheld.
Oh, you buttholes.
That's right, the smartphone.
You buttholes. And
holy cow, so glad, because this one has snatched the victory for you, Brian.
Oh, no.
Number 10 is Mattel Electronic Football.
Scott taught me out of it, too, because he's like, that's so old, Brian. No one would say that. Don't embarrass yourself, Brian.
That's why we abstained from saying no. Coleco had one, but Mattel was the big one that everybody, the one with the little oval on top, beige.
Yes.
It was shaped like a little stadium, kind of.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Yeah, that game, dude. It was barely a game. It was just memorize where these lights go.
Right, exactly. Oh, I know the dash patterns to get through this game. Here's some other ones. Coleco Baseball did make the list. Deck of cards and dice.
Oh, nice.
You guys were also fun.
Those are handheld.
Those are handheld. Penis also made the list as handheld gaming device. Mattel Battlestar Galactica Space Alert from 1978. That's okay. Neo Geo Pocket. The analog making a.
Mine on my desk, and I didn't think enough people would have had it. But the analog
is that the
pocket?
One. That's the one. With the wheel, right? Or the little crank.
No.
This is the analog pocket. It's an FPGA type emulation. So it's like real hardware. You can put real carts in the back of it. I got Pokemon Gold in the back of mine right now. And I've been playing The Lion King for this week's.
The one you're, Brian, show. The one you're thinking about is a Playdate with the crank on it.
A Playdate.
Yeah.
I do want one of those.
You're thinking of the penis.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the penis with the crank on it. Tiger Handheld Double Dragon, Turbo Graphics Turbo Express, Water Ring Toss. You know those? Like,
little squeezy buttons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hate those things.
Yeah.
Wildfire and Merlin both made it in the list here. Somebody said your mom, and finally boobs.
Oh, boobs.
Boobs.
Hopefully not with your mom.
So Tadpool, again, you don't disappoint. And
no.
I'm basically making it so that you fools will keep putting these stupid answers in here and destroy the credence and the true nature of this game.
I'm surprised nobody put the Wonder Swan in there. Those are highly regarded.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially overseas.
No mention even at all of the Wonder Swan. I don't even know what that is.
It's a Japanese handheld thing. Yeah. It was very popular in Japan. They never really made it here, but... And I thought somebody was going to be a jokester and say Tamagotchi, but I'm glad they didn't. That's good.
I mean, it would have fit on here as much as a lot of these other ones. So
that's true.
Yeah, I think you would like the Wonder Swan. It's a Bandai.
Yeah, Namco
product.
Bandai.
And I've bid on a couple of them on eBay before and haven't won one yet. But
back in the day, you had Wonder Swan stands that would just. They were relentlessly trying to convince everybody those were the best things in the world. Yeah.
I got to look this thing up.
They look pretty cool. And you can, they actually have interfacing now. They got some new updates and stuff, and you can use what's called the proto web, and you can get online with it. Yep. It's a neat little tool.
It's interesting. So you play it, so they've got the double joystick. So you play it, you don't play it on its side, then you play it, you turn it like a smartphone.
You can. Okay. Yeah.
You can. Gotcha. You can play games that way. That makes sense.
Yeah, they basically made it so it had dual, you could flip screens. And so if you wanted to play Pac-Man, like a proper Pac-Man, it offered that as
it's vertical. It's a vert. Yeah. Yeah, vert.
But it was single AA battery. That's unheard of. I guess it is black and white screens. So.
Yeah, they had a color as well. I don't know how many batteries that took, but the Wonder Swan
color.
Yeah,
it wasn't too bad. I think two AA's. I think that's what I was bidding on was a color one. It's like the Game Boy. Mm-hmm. It's great and all, but if you're gonna get something like that, go with the color version.
Yeah, it was a weird little device. Just never really never hit here. I don't think we ever even released it here. I think that was just Japan, maybe. Maybe it was here. Yeah, I don't know.
That, as far as I remember, that is accurate.
Well, there you go. You know what this means? Here's the good news right here.
Congratulations.
You're a winner, and that means that these games that Brian talked about will be yours shortly if they aren't already.
Oh, already? He's already playing them. He's already downloaded them.
Thanks, guys. That's my amazing. Kids can eat this week.
Oh, good. Oh, fantastic.
Nice.
take it easy. Games. This is good to have you here, Jacob. /wizard waz.
Awesome.
Dunaway, look, it's Wednesday. That means we're awful.
Thank you. We should have said thank you very much for being here.
Yeah.
Y'all.
But thank you for being here too. And also Friday, we're doing a bit of the old play retro.
Everybody's favorite rental, the Lion King. Mm-hmm. That's right. Disney's Lion King, where Disney said, and they tried to stop us from renting games by making them super difficult in level 2.
Yeah. Level 2 was designed so that you could not finish that game and had to return it before the rental window.
Yeah, closed. Not a weekend. Not going to finish in a weekend, my friend.
So you'd have to come back later and rent it again. It was really quite a scheme, and it pisses me off to this day. So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Pretty lame. What they were trying to
pretty
pull
lame
off.
Disney.
Yeah, kind of a cool game though. The game's good and holds up. But
it's a great little platformer. Get to play as Simba. Oh, we should try to name the characters like y'all, like that little video y'all been passing around from The Lion King.
With our Pumbaa, all that.
Yeah, Pumbaa, Simba. I don't want to get in that discussion.
I think if I see them, if I actually see them, I have no problem naming them. It's when I try to separate all that shit in my mind that I get all confused.
Rafiki.
Yeah,
right.
Rafiki. I'm with you. He was the monkey. anyway, so that's what we're doing, and it'll be 1:30 p.m. Mountain Time on Friday. Please tune in, everybody, because we have a great time on that show, and we'd love to have you there. Brian Dunaway, kiss our butt.
I know you.
He's gone.
He's gone. He's gone.
That's it for that. It is time for a little bit of news. Not a ton, but enough. So here we go. Oh, look, it's the news, and it's brought to you by
Brought to you by the 3 a.m. revving engine again, but this time with a slight change. Scott, what happened?
He farted before he started the car.
Really?
And I heard it. Yeah, I woke up. Here's what woke me up.
Like a really loud fart.
Well, I heard the door first. That's what woke me up. So I hear bang. Okay. And I go, oh, here he goes again. He's about to start that car. And then I hear, before he gets in the car and shuts it, I hear, fart. And then he got in the car and started it. And then the whole pattern, as usual, happened. But I got to hear a little fart, a little morning fart.
Well, you know, you don't want to do that in the cab of the truck. You want to make sure that stuff stays outside.
That's right. Why do you want to, you don't want to, what do they call that? Shake, not shake and bake. What do they call
that? You don't want to, Dutch oven.
Dutch oven. There it is.
Yeah.
Shake and bake. What the frick? Shake and bake.
You can't do shake and bake in a Dutch oven, though.
Goodness, that's true, probably, right? You can cook anything in there. Oh, man, Dutch oven, like, peach cobbler in a Dutch oven.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
That sounds good.
Or meatballs in there. Anything. Whatever.
Meatballs. Cook yeah, sure.
The Dutch knew what was up. look at this here deal. Delta flight forced to turn back after maggots fell on passengers from the overhead compartment.
Good Lord. Was Kiefer Sutherland somewhere going, how do you like those maggots, passengers?
I hope so. He was the pilot. Pilot? Pilot.
He was the pilot. How do you like those maggots, Michael? They're Chinese noodles, Michael. What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing, buddy? Delta flight was recently forced to turn around after this thing happened. These maggots fell from the overhead compartment, and this was only in the economy seats. Of course, first class didn't have to deal with any maggots.
Of course.
Flight on Tuesday, 13th February, was transporting travelers from Amsterdam to Detroit, Michigan, when a passenger suitcase containing rotting fish was in the overhead bin and opened up, resulting in maggots falling onto passengers. After the plane landed, all passengers are instructed to deboard the aircraft, and the suitcase containing the fish was placed in a bag and destroyed. The plane itself was also deeply cleaned, they say. Deeply cleaned.
How was the how was the rotting fish not caught in security?
Mm-hmm. I
mean, God.
Yeah. Awful.
If there's enough gap that maggots can get out of the suitcase and fall on people, there's enough of a gap for the smell of rotting fish to be caught before this person gets on plane.
Yeah, or scanned, right? At the very least. You took it through TSA. Scanned,
exactly, yeah.
Or whatever Amsterdam does for TSA. I assume it's similar.
Jeez.
Yeah, that's gross. A person named Kelsey ended up on Twitter to comment on their experience. Wrote this, quote, really lovely to be in 2 hours and eight, be 2 hours into an eight-hour flight, Delta to Amsterdam, to find that there is rotting fish and maggots hitching a ride with us, unquote.
Ugh.
He revealed the Delta staff had identified the owner of the rotting suitcase and detained them on the plane after the rest of the travelers left. So I don't know if anything comes of that. You don't get arrested for this sort of thing. Maybe you do.
Jeez.
Yeah. I don't know. What's going on, Detroit? Why is this guy from Detroit bringing home dirty fish? It's gross.
It's gross. Okay.
Here's another kind of gross one. Although some people are into this, there's an Ohio funeral home that will preserve your tattoos when you die.
Okay. Yep. All right. Here's, so this little stretched out leather thing that you can give your family.
Yeah. Like that Doctor Who thing that's all stretched out on that board.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. It says, save my tattoo when I die. That's the quote from Matthew Burleson's final request to his sister, Cindy, from the hospital bed in the intensive care unit last April. One night he asked me, he said, I want one of my tattoos saved. And I was like, okay. She said with a laugh.
Yeah.
It says here that she didn't know if it was possible.
We'll never know. He'd never know if you didn't honor his last request.
That's right. There's a place called Save My Ink Forever, a Northeast Ohio-based company stationed out of a funeral home in Northfield. And they say they're the only company in the world offering post-mortem tattoo preservation. They remove the skin, they preserve it, and then they frame it for the family. And there's some photos of this that I'm now going to share.
Oh, jeez.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
Yeah, why when I look at this guy, is it the guy that I absolutely would expect that would have this company?
I don't know why. He looks like a...
Like Jeff, he's Amish or something.
He looks like an Amish guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, time for milking. Time for peeling. I don't know what he does.
That's right. Oh, this is so...
So there you go. Look at that. That's somebody's arm.
That's just a chunk of skin.
Yeah. If you go down here, there's a close-up of it. Yeah, that's your skin.
Oh, really? Let me see. Do I want to see the close-up?
It's just a little tighter shot. There's the dog and the free bird.
I mean, they're beautiful works of art. Maybe, I don't know, a photograph would be just as good.
Yeah, I don't want this on the wall.
And a little
Sorry.
Less Silence of the Lambsy. Yeah.
I'm not putting it on my wall, ever. Kim's got her whole, like, she tattooed her jambalaya recipe down her arm. So it's got...
Did she really? Yeah.
So from here, to, it starts with onions, goes all the way down to shrimp or something. And they're all just little icons for each item.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
oh
it's really
gosh.
Cool. And so I would hate to have that be lost to time. But we'll just take photos of it. We don't need...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's awesome. I mean, looking at these, none of them are ones I'd really say are worth saving.
Yeah, the one, the Freebird one, I mean... Was that a bad choice during a concert or something? Like
it's like done freehand, Freebird, and
that fox looks like trash.
Oh, jeez.
The dog looks okay, but also
The dog looks very angry.
Yeah,
wouldn't want.
This is for a certain kind of person. It ain't us.
Yeah, I guess so. You know what? If this makes somebody happy, power to them.
Sure. Yep, more power. I'd even say.
Yeah, I will say that, you know, if something, God forbid, were to happen to Tina and I had to put her and save her tattoo and, like, frame it, put on the wall, the irony is that it says survivor.
Mm, there you go.
And that kind of...
kind of, yeah, there's some... I like that, though. That's irony.
There's
in
a little... Yeah, so I don't think I'll be signing up for their services.
I mean, people who are confused, you just say, oh, she loved the band. You know, she's really into Survivor.
she really liked Eye of the Tiger and the reality competition show. She was a big fan. And the Chuck Palahniuk book. She liked all three of those things.
All three of those things. Lot. Everything with the word Survivor in it, she was into.
Everything with the word Survivor in it.
Yeah. Except anything that Steely Dan made. All right, we're going to make a... We're going to take a break. When we come back, Tom Merritt will be here talking some tech, and we'll also have some recommendals. So stick around. Brian, play us a song, why don't you, in the middle of that?
Well, we haven't any pop in a while. We're all thirsty for a little bit of pop.
Sure. We call it soda, but that's fine. Yeah.
That's right. This is a singer named Casey Fifield. Or Fifield? Fifield? Fifield. Let's say Fifield.
Sure.
F-I-F-I-E-L-D. It's like field with F-I at the beginning. Whoa. So why wouldn't I just pronounce it Fifield? Here's Casey Fifield. A little bit of fun pop here for you called Never Reply. What does it mean? You'll have to listen to the lyrics.
I wish I could say I wish you the best, but that'd be a lie. I can't say the truth cause I'd wish you away. Wish we never met, I turn back the time, never reply. I know I've changed for the better. I grew when our ties were severed. You still crack under pressure, stuck in high school forever. Bye.
I don't care if it's the biggest thing to hit the fashion industry since hot pants. We need 300 more blue scrubs.
I just want chicken nuggets.
And we're back. Who was that again?
That is Casey Fifield and a brand new song called Never Reply. This is coming from her forthcoming EP, Nostalgia Haunts Me, blending light and beachy vibes that contrast stunningly with a hauntingly optimistic tone.
Oh, well, all right then.
Casey Fifield.
I have officially been convinced.
Or Fifield.
Fifield. Fifield.
New York City. New York City.
New York City, get a rope. All right, time for this.
We want Tom.
Yeah, we do. It's Tom Merritt, everybody. Ace Detect on Twitter and all those other kind of social services. And you know what he does? He comes on here and talks about technology because it's the daily tech news show you should be tuning into on a daily basis. Tom, welcome back to the show. And you're muted.
Well, this is the way.
It is the way. Great
lead-in. Thank you for having me, Scott and Brian.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being here.
It's just as good delayed as it was when it was fresh. Don't worry about it. Here, I'll go.
Thank you for having me, Scott and Brian.
There you go again. It's the entirety of today's subject. Speaking of subjects, Tom.
I am Groot. I'll just respond.
It's your I am Groot. I like that. Speaking of Groots and things that you have to plug in, I don't know what that means. Let's talk about technology. Is there anything going on right now that any of us should be worried about or concerned with or, you know?
Nope. Everything's fine. Back to you, Scott.
Great. Thank you for having me on.
All good in the world.
Report today. There's a lot, obviously, and we will fill Daily Tech News Show with it. One thing, I don't know if we'll end up talking about this on the show today or not. I had it in my Substack newsletter earlier this week. A lot of folks are making a big deal out of the fact that Apple specifically added, don't put your phone in rice if it gets wet, to its support document.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? This was all over the place. Like, don't do it.
Yeah.
It's a trap.
Yeah. And I think they changed the support document maybe a week ago. Some folks noticed it over the weekend. And then today, for some reason, like the BBC has it. Now everybody has suddenly picked it up. But this is actually something that people have said for a long time, is that the rice trick doesn't really work with phones. Mm. Rice can't absorb water, but it absorbs small amounts of water over a long period of time. And so it's not effective enough to really dry out your phone. And one of the reasons for that is because phones are so good at locking things up that they just can't get the water out. So you're more at risk of having small pieces of rice get into your ports and stuff and damaging your phone than you are of actually drying out your phone.
Do you have, did they offer an alternative or anything? Say like silica gel or
anything? Use those little silica gel packets. You know?
same thing. Like, it's probably not going to work, but at least those are usually packaged up so they won't get into your ports. So you're not going to risk any damage. Mm. No, they say these days the best thing you can do is kind of tap it. Try to knock the water out of the ports. Because if there is any water that got in, it probably didn't get far because of the way that these things are sealed up these days. And you know, if you have any hope of recovering it, that's the best hope, is doing some things like that. Leave it somewhere dry with lots of airflow is another tip. So the dry wind, wind is probably overstating it, but you know, the dry air, moving air will take away moisture.
Right. Don't use a hair dryer though.
Use an external heat source like a hair dryer, or put it on the radiator.
Or a sun. Don't put it in the sun either. I wouldn't do that.
It's one of those things where like, but I want to dry it out fast. I need my phone back, and people panic. And the fact of the matter is, if it's going to dry, it's just going to dry naturally. So you want to put it in a place where it's going to dry naturally faster with a little airflow, but not try to accelerate the process in a way that's going to damage the phone. So and then they're like, just try plugging it in again after it's sat for a while. Sometimes the act of plugging it in will clear the water out as well. And again, phones these days, I mean, depends on how old your phone is, I guess, but phones these days are, you know, you can dump them water for 30 minutes up to 6 meters and all of that. So you're not running into this being as much of a problem as it was back in, you know, 2011 when I sat at the edge of my pool with my phone in my pocket.
I was going to ask you, have you ever dropped your phone into a significant body of water and had any concerns about it?
That was the that was the one time that I just totally ruined a phone. I had the phone and we were having a thing at our house. I don't remember what it was, but a bunch of people had come over to our house. It was when we lived in San Rafael, and we were renting a place with a pool. And I had my phone in my swimming trunks pocket. And then I went and I just sat on the edge of the pool next to somebody and was talking to them, not realizing that, you know, my phone was just right under the surface of the water the entire
time. Oh, that sucks. That sucks. And that would have been like an iPhone 4.
Five, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think it was the 5, maybe.
Yeah, those weren't super watertight yet. They hadn't gotten there.
No, you could splash them, but you couldn't dunk them.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And I put mine in rice, and it didn't do anything.
Of course not. But you had a lovely curry later that afternoon with that rice.
I did. Right? I had a iPhone curry.
iPhone curry. That's right. Yeah. I love it. Well, these are the sorts of things you can count on as being part of the big thing known as the Daily Tech News Show. And today there'll be one. Sadly, I won't be there today. Usually I am on Wednesdays, but I'll be having a crown put on.
Ooh, that's right.
A coronation.
Yeah, a real coronation. Yeah, that's. I guess that's one very positive way of spinning it. Yeah, but,
that's how I would.
Will your dentist be played by Olivia Colman or Elizabeth Fay or
that original girl? What was her name?
Fay. Not it was not Fay. Foy. Claire Foy.
Claire Foy. Yeah. That's who I want.
Claire Foy.
Yeah. Yes. Let's do that. Or you know what? I'd take who played the Queen in the Queen.
Judi Dench.
No, the other one.
Judy Dench. Kate Blanchett.
Kate the other one.
That wasn't.
No, she's old. She's old like Judy Dench. Help me. Wow. We know her. Helen Mirren. That's who I want to be the queen.
Helen Mirren. Classic. Yeah.
She can take care of my crown. There you go. Well, that's great. People should tune in. Tom, is there anything else going on that you'd like to tell fine folks about?
Not after that image. No. No. I am working on my Substack newsletter right now. Some of the stuff will end up at Daily Tech News Show, but as I always explain, Daily Tech News Show is a chance for Sarah and I and Scott and others to kind of share our perspectives on things and help the audience understand things. My Substack newsletter is me just talking to you about my perspective on things. Now, they're not always all that different, but you'll get more of just what I think and my opinions and a rundown of the news of the day at freetechnewsletter.com. It's free once a week on Thursdays. Or if you want to, you know, shove a little coin my way, I do it every day for the paying subscribers. And I'm working on the paid one right now. Apple upgrading its iMessage encryption for quantum computers to keep the encryption solid. Google open sourcing some models. ChatGPT lost its mind overnight. All that's going to be in there.
Ooh, nice. Oh, yeah, I heard about that. That was so weird. All right.
Really?
Check that out, everybody. It's Tom Merritt. We'll talk to you soon. Bye now.
Thanks.
All that sound he gets behind him.
I know. We gotta talk to him. Like, can you talk to him this afternoon? Just say we'll do some tests.
Well, I'll be at the dentist, but I will bring it up, and I'll just say because you know what's weird is we have a Discord call, planning Discord call every week for DTNS that he does every day, and we don't get it in there at all.
That's weird because it's over the same. Everything is the same.
As far as I know,
he must be using something different, like a different.
Yeah, just feels like a gain thing. Like something's gain. Some gain thing's off. Like
or something causing interference or something.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Oof, I say.
The way it creeps up makes me think it's a like I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, I see what you're saying about the game. Yeah.
Really weird. Anyway, we'll figure it out. That is gonna do it for that. Let's get Nicole in here. Randy is in a meeting, so he will not be with us today. But Nicole will.
Just three recommendals today.
That's right. One of them is a little less visual.
Well, it's very visual.
That's true. You have to read it. You have to use your eyeballs. Exactly. That's true. I guess you could listen to it. But anyway, we're going to do that now. And if we had the right thing up, here we go.
Well, what do you recommend?
Look at that. We got Nicole here. Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm sorry I sent you guys Girl Scout cookie emails, but Ava got a badge for the emails that I sent.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, I don't know if I did. I get it. Maybe I didn't get it.
I don't know if I did get it, actually.
I sent it to Kim. I think I sent it. No, did I send? I thought I sent it to both of you.
If you sent it to Kim, she did.
I haven't checked email yet this morning, so.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. It's going around. I'm noticing everybody's got the stuff now.
There were some Girl Scouts at trivia last night, so we bought a few boxes
That's awesome.
Smart girls, because it's held at this dining hall, you know, like one of these places that's got six different restaurants, upscale food court, and it's like perfect time to sell Girl Scout cookies.
You're the one that first told me that those places existed, and we still love going to the one downtown. What'd you call it again? What's it called again?
Dining hall.
Yeah.
It's just such a nice.
We have
step
one of
up.
Those here in St. Louis too. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I like them. I wish there were more.
There's probably six within a 5 mile radius. Like that, I can be at six different dining halls in 5 minutes from where I'm at right now.
Do you have a favorite? Like one you'd prefer over the other?
The one that we went to last night that has trivia. It's called Freedom Street Social, because the person's mom that opened it up. Grew up on a street called Freedom Street, and she always had everybody over and cooked for everybody. And so it's the Freedom Street Social, and it's got a great taco place. Oh, it's got a guy who was on Chopped, an Argentinian guy who makes the best bison burger, the best burger I've ever had, but it's $24. I did have one last
night. Oh, $24 bucks.
$24, but my God, it is the best burger I've ever had.
All right. I would try it once. That sounds all right.
Bacon jam on it. And
God, I can't eat anything right now.
Really?
I'm doing a sugar. It's not a fast. And trying to get rid of my tics, I finally went to a functional medicine doctor, and I'm being treated for an overgrowth of candida. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Apparently, when your immune system gets out of whack and you've had a lot of antibiotics, you can have this weird overgrowth in your intestines. And so now I'm sugar-free, which I cannot believe I'm sugar-free, which is
that's great. Good for you.
Mind-blowing. And yeast-free. And everything has yeast and sugar in it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But everything. My tics have gone down like 75%.
Really? That's good.
Yeah.
That's great. Candida overgrowth?
It's SIBO. SIBO is usually the condition. Mm. And it's different for everybody, but it's working for me. So I take a... Good. Yeah, for me and Mateo, both are doing this, which is crazy because he's the pickiest eater I've ever known, and he is sticking to this diet.
That's great.
It's a lot easier to do it now than it would have been, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, just because there are so many great sugar-free options that still are really good.
Monk fruit is the best. Mm-hmm. It's my savior in all of this.
I love it. Do you get the Ling? What's the brand? Ling? Shit. Anyway,
It's like lactose. Ling. Yeah, I know what you're talking.
Whatever
about.
Whatever it is, they're here in Provo. They have their headquarters here. Yeah, they're super nice too. I think somebody over there listens and sent us some bags.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love monk fruit.
It's really good.
Everything monk fruit now.
Yeah, monk fruit rules. A little hard to bake with, so anyway. All right. Oh. Well, let's get to it.
Sorry,
we got some recommendals.
Went into my medical drama.
No, that's all right.
It's all right.
I like having every segment we do begin with some medical stuff.
Yeah, we like a medical drama here and there. I recommended St. Elsewhere. That's a medical drama. It all works out.
There you go. Exactly. Oh my God, that's so old.
Yeah, no,
before we get to my recommendal, I have a quick note, like sort of recommendal for folks, or like a public service announcement. So Dune 2 coming out in a little over a week, the 29th, end of this month. Dune Part 2 coming out the same day that Dune Part 1 leaves Netflix. So if you want to watch Dune Part 1 before you go see the new movie, I don't know if another streaming service is going to pick it up. Probably will, but just in case. Make sure you watch Dune Part 1 on Netflix before you go see it. And based on its length, make sure you start Dune Part 1 on the 27th before it disappears from Netflix on the 29th.
Yeah, give it some time. You know, it's a nice long film, and you'll be fine. I ended up buying that in 4K, but I believe it's going back to Max, I think.
Is it? Okay.
I think so, because they technically own it, too. It's their studio. But
oh, really? Okay. So it probably will, but just in case.
Yeah, so make sure you watch it because it rocks, and I cannot wait for that new movie. I'm so excited. All right, Brian, tell us about your recommendal today.
So my recommendal, I'm giving you a dubbed version because this is a Japanese import. a truly Japanese import, not like the Japanese import that I told Scott about a while back that turned out to be Korean. I forgot about it. This is actually truly a Japanese import. And this came from the recommendation of a ton of tadpoolers based on other things that I liked. So here we go.
All right, here's a clip.
Registration is now closed. The game will now commence.
Game?
Game, dead or alive.
Ooh.
Difficulty, 3 of clubs.
3 of clubs? What does that mean?
Rule. Select the correct door within the stipulated time frame.
What?
Clear condition. Leave the building within the time limit.
You'll die if you just stand there.
The time limit for this room is 2 minutes.
Sounds Squid Game-ish.
A little squiddy. Yeah, it's a Squid Game-like. This is a series called Alice in Borderland. This is on Netflix. And yeah, I mean, it's very, you know, there's this rage right now of these survival Hunger Games style battle royale kind of things that are coming from Korea and Japan and all these other places. But this is really cool. This is, so it's 2 seasons, and basically the premise is that, these guys, these friends, are in Japan. It's super busy, full of people crossing Shibuya Crossing. They duck into a little closet to get away from the police that are chasing for something that they did. And when they come back out, everybody's gone. Like the entire Shibuya area is completely cleared out, and they see this thing that says game commencing, follow the arrow. And sure enough, they do, and they find some other people who are left behind, very few people left behind in Tokyo, and they have to play these survival games. Now, unlike Squid Game, it's not like you know, you're forced to play in these games. You can choose whether or not you play in these games, and they each have a difficulty level that is based on a playing card. All the club games are team games. All of the heart games are mind games, but they range in difficulty from ace all the way up to 10 for difficulty. And but if you choose not to play a game, you basically, when you complete a game and you either die or live, if you live, you get a visa that expires 5 days after the end of that game. So you have basically 5 days to play another game. And the way you die in this thing is that a mysterious laser comes down from the sky and shoots you in the head.
Oh, no way. Like a precision strike, orbital strike, like a
precision satellite strike that just zaps you in the head.
Love it.
That's one of the ways you die in the game Borderlands.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh,
there's like a whole storyline with the laser in the sky. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, they probably got it from that. So obviously what you do is you follow these characters. The main guy is, his name is Arisu, which is translates to Alice, or is pronounced, it's kind of their pronunciation of Alice is Arisu or something like that. I don't know how that all connects, but anyway, that's why it's Alice in Borderland. Then you've got these other great characters, Usagi and Chishia and Rizuna. These are all other players that they encounter. And listen, if you read manga, if you play Japanese video games, you see these tropes of characters, like this bad guy who's carrying a sword and has an eye patch, and this girl who is like in a bikini top and pants, does the whole, like, you know, the two figure, you know,
right.
Super happy, fun time. Yay, good times.
Yeah.
So many tropes as far as characters go, you know, the old mysterious guy, that guy.
Yeah.
But this is a lot of fun. I will warn you, it is gory. It is not for the kids. You heard the dubbed version there. That's the only time I've ever listened to the dub, and it's okay. I did the subtitled version. It was great. There's a transgender character that I'm sure caused some kerfuffle because it was not played by a transgender actress. So, which I know here in US would be a much bigger deal than it might have been. I don't know if it was a big deal there, but I couldn't find any details about it because I looked it up. The character, you know, is like, oh, wow, okay, that's really cool. And then I go and look up, nope, the actor is actually a woman. But anyway, the story is great. The mystery is great. There's another season planned. So, and Netflix says it's coming. So we will get hopefully some closure on the story, two seasons, so far and a lot of fun.
That explains the big number two on the poster I'm looking at. I was wondering if
that's season two. Right. Okay. Exactly.
They do it like a movie. It's weird. It's like a big old fat Roman numeral two on your season. Not used to seeing that. Cool. All right. Available now. Netflix it up, baby. Seems like Netflix has they've cornered the market on these Squid Game likes over there. I don't know.
And to clarify, I do mean a cis woman, not a...
Oh, it's chat giving you shit. Chat, relax.
Yep. Of course they are, because they know that I'm a horrible, horrible person deep down. And so they want to correct me because they know this nice guy is just a facade. Yeah. So they do have to do
this. They have to get in. They got to get in there.
Exactly.
All right. Let's get to Nicole's
Borderland on Netflix.
Nicole, you got a clip here for us. This looked interesting. Any setup for it?
Well, before we go to the clip, since you keep saying Borderlands, and all I'm thinking about is the Borderlands trailer that drops today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That I haven't seen, but the poster, I go, all right, it has Jamie Lee Curtis as Tannis. That's pretty cool. But then it has freaking Kevin Hart as Roland. What?
It's a weird casting. I'm so torn on the whole thing because it's directed by Eli Roth, and I don't like Eli Roth movies at all.
Yeah.
But it's also produced, co-produced, and written by Craig Mazin, who I really like for things like his adaptation of Last of Us, and also the Chernobyl thing was amazing. So, and then it's got these actresses I really like. Like I
like Kate Blanchett.
Yeah, I love her
as Lilith.
I love what's her beak? Whose name? I just forgot. Her beak? Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Jamie Lee Curtis. Yeah,
she's great.
Tannis. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, these are all good things, but then I just think
Jack Black is Claptrap. I just use the voice of Claptrap.
Really? Oh yeah.
Just use the voice of Claptrap.
You might not be able to though. The Claptrap voice guy. There's a whole thing with that. He got in trouble.
It's a whole thing.
And they fired him, and then they found another voice actor that sounded like him.
Yeah, he got screwed. He's just not around.
Yeah,
I don't think he'd be around for it.
He should have done the what on Back to the Future, the actor. What's his name?
Crispin Glover.
So he sued because they took another actor and made it look like
for Back to the Future too. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. His likeness. So it feels like that would be a similar thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Either way.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my Borderlands thought as you're talking about your Borderlands movie.
Mm. Excellent.
All right. But here's my actual, I've been getting a lot of recommendations on Facebook for documentaries, and I don't know, what can I say? They know me. I went ahead and watched this one. I had never heard of it before. Fascinating story about a unidentified person. But what really surprised me about the documentary was the incredible representation of what it's like on the internet nowadays.
All right. Good deal.
There you go.
Here's your clip.
Call your county 911. What is your emergency?
We just found a dead body.
There was nothing there with a name on it. No wallet, no credit cards, no photo ID. We don't really know who he is. How difficult is this going to be?
This is my first case. By day, I'm the mild-mannered delivery person. And at night, I get unidentified people identified. I went on to Facebook. I felt like maybe I could help.
I don't know anything about sleuthing cases, but this was a member of my community. We take care of each other. The group blew up.
All of these different Americans were using the internet to do something good.
It moved fast. You know, people were throwing out ideas.
He was seen in Georgia. He was seen in North Carolina.
Small bits of personal information that he would reveal.
I was shocked. Holy shit. Like, look at this. This is the guy I camped with.
If you don't mind, can I take a picture? Smiled and clicked his picture.
Internet sleuthers, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hate, so I love and hate those people sometimes.
Yeah. You're going to, I mean, you would love this documentary. It's on Max. It's called, what was it called? They called him Mostly Harmless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, in Florida, they came across a tent with a man, unidentified man. He weighed like 80 pounds. He was like skin and bones.
Super emaciated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they could not figure out who he was. And this is a few years ago, 2019, 2020. And they just, he erased his digital track. He did. So it's an interesting kind of thought experiment of, can you erase your identity from the world nowadays? Mm-hmm. And so it starts off with them trying to figure out who he is. And so they're doing these little things, and they start, the police department puts up a doctored photo because the original photo is so jarring because he's so emaciated. And then it takes you down this path because he was hiking the Appalachian Trail. And there's a whole tight-knit group of hikers, and you have trail names. And I had no idea any of this was a thing, but, you know, like every kind of hobby or, you know, thing that you get into, there's nuances to it. So when you meet somebody on a trail, you don't give your real name. So people knew him. He would introduce himself as Mostly Harmless. That was his trail name. And so this documentary takes you through what people did to try to identify him. And so there was a Facebook group, and the woman that was in that clip, she delivers dry cleaning during the day, but at night she's like on Facebook. That is her life. And like, it is serious business for them. Mm. And it kind of makes me sad because you could tell she's lived a life unfulfilled, and this is what she kind of thinks is her calling. Mm. And so there's a lot of like internet drama that plays out with this case and the groups. And then a guy from Wired magazine actually writes an article about it that kind of pushes the case forward. So it's a great watch. I think it's like an hour and a half, but not a satisfying end, but you know what? Sometimes that's life. Life. You don't always match up the person of who you think this person is to who they actually are. Mm. And so I enjoyed the documentary for that. And I still have questions about, that just doesn't make sense how he died. Mm. So there's a few questions per se, but it also shows how the internet can be dangerous in assuming things. And they profiled a guy that this Facebook group like wrecked his life because they thought it was him. And like, it was really good.
The first real heinous example of that I remember was the Boston Marathon bombings and this Reddit group that thought they had it all figured out.
Oh yeah.
Oh right. Yeah.
It was terrible. And if you want to look like kind of pre-internet,
they can turn into mobs with pitchforks so damn quickly.
Yeah.
So quickly.
You can go prior to that, and that dude that made movies about it and stuff, but the guy from the Olympics in 96, that whole thing, turns out he had nothing to do with that bombing, and it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, you get the sights on somebody, and then you just wreck them, whether they're the right guy or not.
Right. Vigilante
group justice doesn't always work the way people think it does, you know?
No. And it becomes a mob mentality. Mm-hmm. And even when you have the person saying, I am not dead, I am here. I have a family. Please stop harassing me.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yep.
Oh, he's lying.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they can. That's the problem, is once they've locked in, they're in. And,
yeah.
And even when a person is completely exonerated at the end of it, people still will have the conspiracy theory. Like, it just sucks. I hate that.
Yeah,
but this sounds interesting. So I'm definitely going to check it out. It's definitely got a vibe of a documentary I would watch.
Oh, yeah. And it just, I was amazed at how well it captured that, how internet drama around Facebook groups and like communities can just go really, really wrong. I mean, we've all been in those forums where you're like, what? Who? Okay, we're taking this a little too seriously.
Yeah.
Like, when it crosses over into real life, okay, we need to take a step back from the keyboard kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah. The so. Wisdom of crowds isn't as wise as it thinks it is.
Gosh, no. No.
Yeah.
Excellent. That sounds like fun.
It's dumbest member.
That's right.
They called them mostly harmless, which is a reference to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, apparently.
Nice. Well, my recommendation this week does not have a clip. I could probably find some audio from the book or whatever if I wanted to, but
you could read us a passage.
Yeah, I have been so busy reading that I haven't had as much time, especially last week with the baby coming and all that. I haven't had time for.
Yeah, what are you reading?
So I'm reading this series called Edge.
You're about
of
to find out.
Edge, I'm reading Edge of Collapse. It is a 7-book series. I'm only 2 books in. And I really like it thus far. And I thought the first book in particular was extremely good. It's called Edge of Collapse. It's basically a world set. It's set in Christmas 2024. The book was written years ago, but it's set kind of in our future by about 7 months or however long we have. No, more than that. Anyway, whatever it is, 10 months, 9 months. Anyway, and on Christmas Eve, specifically in Michigan is where most of this takes place. There is a huge EMP event, some sort of electromagnetic pulse, and nobody's sure where its source is. In fact, even all the way done with book two, they still don't know what the source is because they don't have any contact with the government. They don't have any contact with anybody. They don't know if this is worldwide, if it's just the states, if it's just Michigan, for that matter. They have theories, but nobody knows, and they don't know if it was intentionally done or if it was something with a solar flare. A bomb went off above the atmosphere, hydrogen bomb that would have caused this. There's all this speculation.
Wasn't there a TV show that the electricity goes out?
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, what was that?
I have no idea.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like some sort of like,
yeah,
it was one of these more recent mysteries and stuff. Yeah.
And there's a lot of themes like this in different things. Like Jericho is kind of like this. It's just like
it was Jericho.
Was it Jericho? Yeah, I don't remember it being an EMP, but basically everybody has to really struggle when basic services and things like electricity, the internet, heating, all that stuff just goes off. You're done, and anything that had a computer chip in it is screwed. The only vehicles and devices that survived this EMP in the story. Are stuff without chips in it. So like old trucks that don't have any computerized crap or, you know, a really old snowmobile that still starts or whatever. And so
War of the Worlds movie did that too, right?
Yeah. There's a bit of that
everything.
In there. Yeah. Basically all your basic services, the power grid, all that stuff is shut down. And that's what it deals with, but it deals with it in very personal stories on the ground. It's not about the bigger conflict. It's about, well, how is this guy affected? What's he going to do in this situation? And what's this lady going to do? And why is she even involved? And it's very kind of on the ground, personal stories set within a world that's doing this. Now, I can't speak for book three through seven. I assume it's similar stuff. They are connected, the first two books, but they're also very separate stories, even though they're connected. Oh. And I'm really liking it. And I've spent all my time reading lately.
Do you think that it would be an okay story for me and Mateo to listen to? He listens to stuff that cusses, and that's fine.
It's not super. This, and what's funny is this isn't full of cusses. It's kind of actually kind of light on the swearing. It's just, it deals with themes that are kind of scary. You know, it's like everything shut down and that's awful, but that can be good stuff to watch with kids sometimes, you know?
Well, we listened to Ready Player One and Ready Player Two.
Yeah. If you listen to those, you'd probably be okay here. I think you'd be all right. This isn't overly violent. It's not very gory. It's scenes of of collapse and destruction and airplanes falling out of the sky and some of that stuff, but they don't like go and his eyes burst from his face or any weirdness like that. You know what I mean?
Well, we listened to The Martian and then we watched the movie, but there was one part in The Martian that insinuated cannibalism, and that he was like, I was like, okay, let's talk about it. We're not going to watch Alive.
Yeah.
We're not going to do any of that.
Right.
So, so I'm always on the hunt for books for, cause that's how we read now, is just, we just plow through books in the car together.
Yeah. And that, and if you're doing that with him and he's enjoying that, I'll bet you'd probably like this. It's a female author as well. I really like her take on all this. Her name is Kyla Stone. And she has some other books as well. I'd probably get around to them. There's something called The Last Sanctuary. She focuses on this kind of post-apocalyptic stuff, which I obviously have a taste for. But nice thing about Edge of Collapse is the whole thing is free if you have Kindle Unlimited. So the it's, you know, $0 to watch, to read it on Kindle. If you're doing audio, you'll, you know, I think that'll cost you, but the...
It's $7 for the audiobook.
See, that's nothing. That's good.
Yeah.
Cheap.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Anyway, it's really good, and she's considered one of the cool voices in this space, and I agree with those reviews. I think it's very, very good so far, and it's kind of just hard to put down. It's one of those series where I'm just like, I got to keep reading this.
And I have Can I give you a book recommendation,
Yeah,
too?
Please, go ahead.
We're currently reading The Insignificant Events in the Life of a Cactus, and... It's a young adult book, but I have absolutely, I adore it. It's about a young girl with no arms and a kid with Tourette's. And I've never read a book about that talks about someone that's dealing with Tourette's, and they do it in such a wonderful way and a kind way and an educational way. Mm. And it's a great story. So
what's the title again?
Insignificant Events in the Life of a Cactus.
Significant Events. I'm going to write this one down.
It's a short little book. We're laughing. It's just wonderful.
Nice. So, all right. Yeah. Well, there you go. A little bonus book recommendation.
Cool. There you go.
You got your read this into my recommendals. Hey, you got your recommendals into my read this.
Tastes good though. I like it.
Yummy.
Tastes great together.
They will be up at quicktms.li. They're there already. So if you want to go read about it and watch about it and do all those things, they're up there as a resource for you, the fine listener. Nicole, it's always good having you on. Can't wait to have you back next week. And good luck with all this anti-sugar stuff. I'm on the same good diet with the sugar.
It's for so different, weird. Different reasons,
but it's very weird.
It's inspiring. I should do the same damn thing, but I won't.
It's hard. It's hard.
Not until I'm ordered to by a doctor that says, oh, yeah, you really should have started doing this years ago, Brian.
Yeah.
Functional medicine doctor was the key. Finding just the right doctor. It took me about a year to find somebody that was like, okay, we're going to look at these things and find the root cause. So,
right. Well, that's awesome. I will see you next week. Have a good one and tell hi to Mark, who is probably working wood right now. Working his wood. Working that wood, son.
Mm-hmm. Whispering that wood.
Whisper to the wood.
That's right.
All right. That's it for today's show. Big thanks everybody for being here. We got a new Monday show went up yesterday on a Tuesday. So you can check that out. What else is happening today? Usually DTNS, but nope, I got to get teeth done.
Yeah.
I'm really dreading it.
You're just doing the T of the DTNS.
Just dreading
doing
it.
Doing teeth.
Yep. The daily teeth show.
Doing teeth, not co-hosting.
However that works. But yeah.
Doing teeth, not co-hosting. That's what DTNS stands for today.
I could not be dreading it more, but anyway, it'll be later today. I'll be about $1,000 poorer, and it'll be great. Jeez. So look forward to that. But we'll be back tomorrow. We should have Wendy here, all that stuff. So look forward to your Thursday version of TMS. Frogpants.com/TMS is the place to go for all the links. And now we'll leave you with a song. Brian, do you have one to leave them with?
Yeah, Bob Finnegan wrote in, mailman Bob Finnegan. Hey, gents, this is a birthday request for my 56th birthday. I'm getting this one a little bit late, too. This was from earlier in the month. This cover is one of my favorites. It's a way better version than the original Mop the Hoople version, in my opinion. Can I get a Honk Ah or a Tenor Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch from Darius?
You can get both.
What? It's a birthday miracle.
Here's one.
It's a Tender Crisp Bacon Cheddar Ranch.
And then you can get this guy too. Or this guy. Oh, no, same guy. How about this guy?
Wow, this dude's like his twin brother.
Yeah, it's almost like those are the same exact clip. Weird. I don't know how that works.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, nice. Cool. Congratulations on your birthday, dude. That's a high watermark.
That is 56. Very cool. I'm heading towards one of those not too long in the future myself.
Yeah.
All right, so the song is Sea Diver by The Down and Outs. This is a cover of a song originally done by Mott the Hoople. This is great. It's a Joe Elliott led band, so that gives you some lends a little credence to who you're about to hear. The Down and Outs from the album The Further Adventures Of from 2014 with Sea Diver.
Oh, morning shadow, it's time you sail, or is it time you win? I tried so hard to leave you, I tried to sleep. The hours you keep, I wish I could escape this iron veil right on my son, right on my son, until you fail. Something comes and something goes, and something dies before it grows. And I'm like a sea diver who's lost in space. Sweet savage grace, oh Lord, I wish I could escape this iron veil, right on my son, right on my son, until you fail.
Get more at frogpants.com.
The Phantom of the Opera.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.